Good evening and welcome to The Big Fight, the show that is young at 21, the oldest running debate show on Indian News Television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Today we are actually building a case. And what are we actually trying to do? We are building a case on the basis of certain facts and figures that it is now time to scrap the sedition law. We feel that it is unwanted. And it's not just us, there are a lot of people who feel the same way. Why are we making this argument? Let's find out. Let's take a look at the data. The surge in the sedition cases, we'll also come to the definition in a moment. So in 2014, and this is all National Crime Records Bureau, NCRB data, 47 cases. In 2015, you can see that there were 30 cases. In 2016, a slight rise to 35 cases. Then in 2017, 51 cases. In 2018, 70 cases. And then in 2019, 93 cases. And by the way, this is just going on and on and on. This figure is continuously increasing. Many of these cases you already know about. The courts are taking a strong position. But here is a look at how alarmingly these cases are increasing continuously. Now, what happened? Top court had ordered relief, and this was this week, relief for Telugu channels. They said, and this was a matter where certain Telugu channels had broadcast comments of an MP from Andhra Pradesh, and the Andhra government lodged cases against the channels of sedition. On that case, the Supreme Court said the Andhra Pradesh government should not take any coercive steps against the Telugu news channels. Important point that they mentioned. They said the Andhra Pradesh government's act of filing sedition cases against the channels is muffling channels. It is time the courts define sedition. Extremely important point mentioned right here. The court defines sedition, right? What is sedition? Or are you going to apply this rule everywhere, to everyone? And particularly when you're unhappy with someone's utterances. The court said, we are of the view that the ambit and parameters of the provisions of sections 124A, which is sedition, 153A and 505 of the Indian Penal Code would require interpretation, particularly in the context of the right of the electronic and print media to communicate news, information and the rights, even those that may be critical of the prevailing regime in any part of the nation. The most important point mentioned by the Supreme Court, clearly hinting that there is a trend to abuse these sedition laws. Then came another case where you can see, this is the case of Mr. Vinod Dua, journalist, where the Supreme Court quashed the sedition case against him and said every journalist will be entitled to protection in terms of the Kedarnath Singh judgment. We'll come to that judgment through the course of this broadcast, what that judgment was. This law and its context was defined very, very well in 1962 by the Supreme Court. And yet you have excesses being committed in the name of the sedition law. The court said prosecution under sections 124A and 505 must conform to the scope of law laid down in the Kedarnath Singh judgment. Very, very important point mentioned by the Supreme Court. Dua, who's the journalist here, is within his rights to say that as a journalist, he was touching upon issues of great concern so that attention could be bestowed to various problems. Now, in an earlier, in that earlier context of the Andhra channel, Justice D.Y. Chandrachud said, there was a picture of body being lifted and thrown into a river, broadcast right here on NDTV. I do not know whether a complaint of sedition will be filed against the news channel for showing it. This was a dig that he was taking, a sarcastic comment on the manner in which these sedition cases are applied. What is the rationale? The next time any government feels uncomfortable with criticism, they would end up applying or pressing charges of sedition. And thus we come back to the point that we were making or the case that we were building, which we are going to argue tonight, is it time to scrap this old ancient British legacy, which, by the way, even the Britishers have scrapped? Is it time to scrap the sedition law? I would like to introduce a very, very esteemed panel of lawyers, advocates, people who have fought these cases. Let's understand from them what are the problems, who can do it, what can be done. I would like to welcome Mr. Dushyant Dave, senior lawyer in the Supreme Court. Vikas Singh is a senior advocate. One of these cases related to Mr. Dua was fought by Mr. Singh. K.V. Vishwanathan, former ASG and also a senior advocate. R.M.R. Sundaram, senior lawyer of the Supreme Court. And we also have Satyapal Jain, additional Solicitor General of India. Thank you very much to all of you all. Mr. Dave, I want to begin with you first. What is your opinion on the sedition law and its misuse?
Well, there is no doubt that the law has been scrapped. It's an old law. It's a British era law. Everybody knows that. The problem is, you know, that it's the really the application of that law which is a serious concern. And I must say that on application, both the executive and judiciary are at fault. It is all right for the Supreme Court to, you know, strike down sedition charges against journalists. But the same Supreme Court, Justice Lalit himself, the other day when Ms. Sudha Bhardwaj's matter came up, refused to, you know, quash the prosecution and the charge of sedition and directed, saying that you have a very good case, but go to the trial court. Now, that was very disappointing, I would say. The executive, for example, just does applies it, you know, at random, selectively to protect its own people and to target the opposition leaders and those people whom executive doesn't want. For example, in Delhi riots cases, it was a classic case where the BJP leaders who really incited violence with their words and which resulted in deaths of innocent people should have been booked long back, because that was a copybook case of sedition. And therefore, you know, so really problem is, it's not very easy for a country like India to do away with sedition law. Personally speaking, I would like that sedition law should be done away with. But it's not very likely to happen, because the executive faces serious challenges every day, be it from the, you know, terrorists, be it from the Maoists, or be it from some other persons. But the executive should be very, very, very selective about it, its application. They should really know what is the law. And as you very rightly pointed out, that Kedarnath judgment very specifically says, while it, you know, refused to quash the section as being unconstitutional, and they said that this section actually takes away the freedom of speech and expression under guaranteed under Article 19(1)(a). Mm-hmm. But then they sustained it by saying that when public disorder takes place or public order is disturbed, or where violence takes place, resulting in, you know, injuries to public life and deaths of innocent people, then those statements can be treated to be seditious. Hmm. So that is something which, unfortunately, since 1965 has been overlooked by the executive.
Correct.
And sadly by the judiciary over a long period of time. And this is the real problem, that the judges are also not consistent about it. You know, one day they say something, next day they say something else. Mm-hmm. So I think, for example, Akhil Gogoi was not granted bail by the Supreme Court. Mm. Similarly, you know, this journalist, a Kerala journalist who is in jail in UP for Kappan, no rhyme and reason, he has not been granted bail. He's, you know, suffering this charge of sedition on a completely bogus grounds. Mm. We all know that. So it's really something which, as a nation, we need to ponder.
Sure.
And as a nation, we need to seriously
think. Okay, Mr. Jain, I want to come to you now. You've heard Mr. Dave also. And let's now talk about the Kedarnath judgment. Way back in 1962, the judgment said, mere strong words used to express disapprobation of the measures of government with a view to their improvement or alteration by lawful means is not sedition. In fact, it also defined what is sedition, that you have to wage, it has to be proven that you are waging war against the government by violent means, and that will be sedition.
Mr. Sanket, there are two issues which you have raised. The debate, you said in the very beginning, is about whether to continue scrap with the sedition law, or there is a time has come, according to you, to snap all these laws and go, I mean, let them go wherever they want to go. I feel that so far as the first question is concerned, the answer to that question finds the, from all the judgments, right, from Kedarnath and all those which have been cited, including Vinod Dua's case, where the Supreme Court has nowhere quashed this provision as being ultra vires of a particular section of the IPC or the Constitution and all that. They have upheld the validity of this section, but they have laid down certain safeguards. What will constitute sedition? What are the parameters of deciding whether sedition is there or not? This means two things. Number one, so far as the law is concerned, it is perfectly legal, valid, it must remain. But so far as the applicability is concerned, the courts have laid down that if these things are there, then it will be, it could be said, it could be argued that sedition is made out. Therefore, I am of the view, sedition law is there. It must remain there. There's nothing pointed out as to why this law should go. If you simply say, because it has been misused somewhere, somebody can say that. And that can be said about any law. I don't think any law in the country can be said that, no, it was never exploited or never misused. If there is a misuse of any particular section or any law, courts are the biggest guarantee. And in Vinod Dua's case, the government, the Supreme Court differed with the arguments of the state of Himachal Pradesh, government of India and all other, and ultimately gave its finding. Therefore, law must stand as it is.
No, I will tell you why, Mr. Jain, if you allow me, I'll tell you why I feel that, you want a strong law given the compulsions that we have in this country. Then in that case, there are a number of things that can be done. Perhaps bring in a new law, which is a new and improved law. This law was made by the British for the British. It was meant to serve a very different purpose. The very first paragraph of this law, 124A, says, whoever brings or attempts to bring into hatred or contempt or excites or attempts to excite disaffection towards the government shall be punished. Do you see the motive behind the law? And I guess right now what is happening, Mr. Jain, is that the Britishers or their government back then has been replaced by successive governments. So there is this political assumption that speaking against the government is seditious because this law was built like that.
No,
that's why I'm saying the intent behind this law was faulty. It has been scrapped in the United Kingdom. Why are we lugging this along?
See, it is the discretion and prerogative of any country to enact any law that they want to do or do away with any law. That is their discretion. That can't be an example for the other country to follow. But kindly read 124A once again. Let us find out what is wrong with this section. Whoever by words, either spoken or written or by signs or by visible representation or otherwise, brings or attempts to bring into hatred or contempt or excites or attempts to excite disaffection towards the government established by law in India shall be punished. See, criticizing the government is no problem. Daily people are criticizing. Today also on your channel, some people say government is misusing.
But Mr. Jain, who will define this? It's all objective, no.
But that
you may take things in the right spirit.
Bring into hatred or excite disaffection towards the government. These are two sections which ultimately have to be there when you cite or when you accuse somebody of sedition. Therefore, I feel this law must stand, must continue. Its misuse, I think the courts are the best guarantee to see that this section is not misused anywhere in the country.
Sure.
And courts have been doing their job. Kedarna Singh's case, the Supreme Court has laid down certain parameters.
And despite those parameters, you see an alarming increase in the number of sedition cases across the country. Vikas Singh, I want to come to you now. You fought this case. I saw a reaction also where you were happy to see what the Supreme Court said. I want to know from you, you've heard the arguments of Mr. Dave, you've heard the arguments of Mr. Jain, who feels that the law must stay, its misuse must be stopped.
Well, Sanket, I'll tell you one thing. As far as the law is concerned, just because it is being misused is no ground for quashing it. Now, when Kedarnath Singh said that the section should mean to be interpreted in a particular manner, what is lacking is the sensitization of the local police when somebody wants to register an FIR on 124A. So if you were to read the section as it is, probably every case that comes to a police station would look like sedition.
Hmm.
But if the police station were aware that this section has further been, you know, sort of read down by the Supreme Court in the case of Kedarnath Singh, then the Supreme Court, then the police station will not register an FIR saying that the ingredients are not made out. So what has happened in the judgment of Vinod Dua is that there is a reiteration of Kedarnath Singh, and I feel that this is high time that the police stations, some circular are issued by every state government or every DGP, that whenever a case for sedition is made out, especially against people who are expressing their views against the government, it should conform to the mandate of Kedarnath. If it conforms to the mandate of Kedarnath Singh, automatically things will fall in place, because I agree that the laws should not be scrapped merely because it is being misused. Ideally, if you were to ask me what should be the ideal situation, the parliament should amend Section 124A to bring it in conformity what Kedarnath Singh says by adding one or two explanations to say that this per se will not be sedition if it does not incite violence. If that were to happen, probably this misuse of this section will be lessened substantially.
Mm-hmm.
But since Parliament is not interested in making laws, it is interested in more in doing, you know, hurling of abuses and disrupting proceedings.
No, also, Mr. Singh, you tell me Parliament will only change this law if it serves political interests of all.
That's right.
At this moment, the sedition law, the way it is, it serves political interests. Why would they change?
This ambiguity is being used by the respective government, you know, to misuse it. And the Kedarnath Singh judgment is not inserted into the sector itself. And that is why the possibility of misuse and the actual misuse in the entire country.
Hmm. Okay. Mr. Sundaram, I want to come to you now. See, this point is very interesting that Mr. Singh is making. If you want to amend, okay, fine, you don't want to scrap the law, amend the law. Make it more adept to or attuned to modern times. Who will do that? Can courts do it? Can the parliament do it?
Well, obviously, amendment of a law can only be done by the legislature itself. It cannot be done by the court. All that the court can do is interpret a section. Now, let's just understand where the whole problem arises. It is the language in which legislative intent is expressed often gives rise to interpretation.
Yes.
And this language can be interpreted in any way as would suit the executive at a given time. Basically, let's understand what sedition was all about. Sedition started because it was against violent revolt, a violent illegal revolt against the government. That was what was sought to be curbed. Along with that, treason, treachery, these are actions, treason at the time of war, these are actions which were sought to be curbed. Now, that is the basic origin of sedition. If we look at it that way, I don't think there's any confusion really. It is somebody who wants to bring into trouble the government through illegal, violent means, who incites violence, who creates a violent rift in society, who creates a public disorder, not a law and order problem, a public disorder. In other words, urges people, causes people, results in people taking to arms against the government. Now, that is where the law of sedition originated. Now, unfortunately, it has now been expanded into an area where if you turn around and criticize a particular government policy, it is taken to be sedition. Look at the Andhra Pradesh case. It's absolutely ridiculous. Mm. I mean, we have cases like this coming up. It's not just Andhra Pradesh. West Bengal has done it. Other states have done it. The union has done it. Everybody seems to have very, very thin skin. And when a politician or when the government is in any way criticized, they immediately bring into play this section.
Correct.
But if you remember what the section was all about, what the purpose of the section was, there is no problem.
Mm.
Combine with it Article 19. Article 19 of the Constitution gives you freedom of speech. Now, freedom of speech, the restraint constitutionally, can be done for very limited reasons, which are found in Article 19.2, which are incitement of violence, attacking the integrity of India, the sovereignty of India, public disorder once again. So unless the word spoken, the action complained of, falls within the ambit of 19.2, it cannot be said to be against free speech. And if it is not against free speech, how can it be sedition in the first place?
Correct.
Therefore, the correct interpretation really would be, if you look at Article 19 and say, look, is this something which could have been restrained under Article 19 because it's an incitement to violence? Hmm. Or can this be restrained under Article 19.2 because it is a call against the sovereignty or integrity of India? Hmm. If one of these causes arises, then you can restrain the speech. Hmm. Now, if one of these causes don't arise and you cannot restrain the speech, how does that speech become an illegality by using sedition law?
Correct.
Does not that become an unlawful restraint on the freedom of speech? Because you cannot restrain freedom of speech for any other reason than found in 19.2. So therefore, I don't think there's any confusion about the law. It is that, like I said, language is something which can be interpreted in any way, which is how all of us as lawyers
give opposite views. I'll give you a recent example where Mr. Jain's party saw an ambiguity in the law. We are talking about the NCT bill. And then that ambiguity was removed, where in Delhi, LG became the government, right? Because they felt that the ambiguity is being quote-unquote used or misused. So that ambiguity can be removed if the government of the day wants. Mr. Jain, before you reply to that, Mr. K.V. Vishwanathan, I want to come to you now. A very interesting point was made by Mr. Singh just a short while ago, where he said that we have to sensitize the police force so that they know that which act is an act of sedition and which isn't. Because on the face of it, everybody will feel that a criticism equals sedition. The point is, are we perhaps naive in understanding that some lowly cop is deciding whether sedition charges be pressed against an individual or not? These are not police-level decisions. As it is increasingly being made aware to us, these are political decisions. A political boss has decided that a case of sedition may be filed. I'll ask Mr. Singh also this question later. Yeah.
We will be not only be rendered naive, we will be gullible if we think that it is about the station house officer who is doing it. It is not about the language. You draft the section in the plainest of terms. If the political executive, whichever party it belongs, rings up the client DIG or the IG and tells him to have the FIR registered, the next minute it will be done. So this issue has to be addressed at more than one level, Sanket. One, Parliament, and one would expect that, would show the statesmanship to come and redraft it in accordance with the judgment in Kedarnath Singh, because if you see the section now and read it plainly, it's vastly different from what the court has said. The court has said it must lead to disorder or there must be incitement leading to public disorder. You will not find that. So inconvenient media would be mulcted and foisted with a false case, arrested and paraded and humiliated, not only to bring them in line, to also send a message to others that unless you toe the line, you will face the music. So one, if Parliament is not prepared to redraft it, and I'll tell you why it needs to be redrafted, because when Kedarnath was argued, it was argued on the anvil of the right to free speech, which is available to citizens. Today, there are other grounds available. It is also vulnerable under Article 14 and Article 21 because of its vagueness. Also, non-citizens, central government's strongest argument will be non-citizens who don't have right to free speech may have to be prosecuted, so you need the section there. And some citizens may conspire with them. So one, if Parliament does an amend, the Supreme Court has an occasion to strike it down prospectively because the section is vague. The same grounds that apply to Shreya Singhal when it struck down 66 capital A apply here. It is manifestly arbitrary, like they did in the Aadhaar case when it came to disclosure by the authority about national security. They may say Parliament may redraft it, which the Aadhaar Act was amended and redrafted.
Correct.
Make it prospective. Now, will the Supreme Court do it? This judgment and the observations are welcome. Whenever there is a pro-citizen judgment in a genuine case, and if you see the facts in Vinod Dua, horrendous. Horrendous facts subjected to a charge of sedition. In an excellent judgment, the law has been clarified. It's applied to all journalists. Now, there are other cases pending. It could be made prospective. The amendment could be made prospective with the charges applying if it meets the amended provision. Or the Supreme Court, if it is falling short of striking it down, there is an excellent case for reading in guidelines. And those guidelines, as Mr. Singh said, can be circulated, like it was done in Maharashtra, in the Asim Trivedi case, to all the station house officers. But what is to be checked is the abuse of power.
Very important point that Mr. Vishwanathan
has made. Higher authority and judicial oversight has to be brought in.
Okay.
And you don't need, it is not amendment of law. Unfortunately, the Vinod Dua judgment in the second part dealing with the screening committee considers it to be a legislative measure. But there are cases in the telephone interception case, in the Vishakha guidelines case and the Aadhaar case, which show that Supreme Court can step in the matter of fundamental rights, lay down guidelines so that the abuse is checked.
So technically the Supreme Court can step in, but will they do that? Will that lead to another conflict? But you know, Mr. Singh,
there is a strong chance of the court stepping in and laying down guidelines, making it impossible for abuse, bringing in judicial oversight.
Yeah.
Making arrest subject to the order of the court.
Sure.
Those things have been done.
Okay.
And later in the program, if you ask me, I will tell you how the press has to be separately treated and protected because it is a fourth.
Yeah, this is an argument that Mr. Singh was also making a few days ago. Mr. Singh, I want to come back to you and ask you this question on who misuses the law. Is it some station house officer or someone, some political boss telling the station house officer? Then how will you pin the blame? Who will you accuse?
Sanket, if you ask me, if there were to supposing to be an amendment of you know, the section by incorporating what the Supreme Court has said in Kedarnath Singh, then the misuse will definitely come down substantially. Well, I'll tell you why. Because not every station house officer is ready to read this section in the way the political masters want it to be read. Now, as far as the second part is concerned, where a station of house officer is wanting to know the political masters, that is a problem of police reform, which I've been, you know, advocating for a very long time, that this country needs police reform. You need the police to be out of the control of the executive so that they can take an independent call. And to the extent that an officer is pliable, and I don't say every officer is pliable. I today, this country, the rule of law still, whatever is there is not because every officer is pliable, because there are a lot of them who are not pliable. So if that section were to be amended, then the number of people who are the pliable kind would be, you know, a very small number.
Yeah.
Who can be only controlled by a police reform when they are completely separated from the boss, from the executive.
But you know, Mr. Singh, you also know that for decades...
One thing last line only, Sanket.
Yeah.
The Kedarnath Singh said something also very interesting, and which has been followed later also, that the government of the day does not mean the prime minister, the office bearer of that government. So the prime minister can be criticized without, you know, criticizing the government of the day. So the hatred has to be towards the government, not the person who is holding the office at the particular
time. Oh, that's interesting. So now, many would say even that is an interpretation.
That's also an interpretation which needs to be incorporated by an amendment so that at the lowest level,
Mr. Dushyant Dave is smiling. I wonder why.
And take a call.
Mr. Dave, criticizing the Prime Minister is not seditious. Criticizing any Chief Minister is not seditious. Criticizing their government may fall in the ambit of this law.
See, I think the solution that my distinguished friends with whom I have greatest respects, both Mr. Vikas Singh, Mr. Mr. Aryama Sundaram and Vishwanathan and Mr. Jain, I hold them in high respect at the bar. I don't think we should expect any solution from the executive of the day or the parliament. Let's be very clear about it. The political masters want this provision to stay as it is and to be abused by them. So there is nothing which we can expect. 99 out of 100 cases which are filed in last 5 years, the sedition charge was falsely brought. And it is the duty of a magistrate up to Supreme Court, the judiciary, to strike them down at the bud. So the moment a person is arrested, the magistrate should release that person straight away, saying that there is no case for sedition made out. People languish in jail for years till this kind Supreme Court suddenly wakes up. Why distinguish between a journalist and a citizen? What is so special about journalists?
I agree with you.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with you.
Nothing special about us.
Every citizen is entitled to same treatment. True. And if I have a right to criticize the government, you also have a right to criticize the
Absolutely.
Government. If you don't commit sedition, I don't commit sedition. So I think time has come for judiciary to strike hard. And they are not doing it. In 99 cases,
okay,
they allow
let me very quickly.
Arnab Goswami or Mr. Vinod Dua, Supreme Court comes down and says, oh, no sedition. So I don't think the solution lies with judiciary. We should forget the executive.
Okay.
And judiciary should act.
So Mr. Dave has given up on the government there is no way the government will ever be interested in striking down this law or defining this law properly. Mr. Jain, you tell me, if you can do it, as Mr. Vishwanathan was saying, as Mr. Dave is also saying, that if you can do it in certain laws, why can't you explain or draft this law properly in Parliament?
Mr. Sanket, let us be clear about the legal position. Very, very senior lawyers are appearing on your screen and participating in this debate. Forget about the amendment by Parliament. The law laid down by the Supreme Court in interpreting any provision of law is not less important, rather more enforceable even than the provision of the law. The Supreme Court, right from Kedar Singh's case to this latest Mr. Vinod Dua's case, have laid down certain parameters and criteria, how the FIR has to be lost, how the trial has to be conducted, what will constitute sedition, what will not constitute this plea. All the judgments have upheld the validity of this law, even in Vinod Dua's case. The last paragraph
No,
says,
Mr. Jain, I agree. You made this point. My only limited point is, why can't a well-structured, well-defined, redrafted law be brought in Parliament by the government? Because Mr. Dave has given up on the government. I haven't.
I said that this law laid down by Supreme Court is as applicable as laid down by the Parliament. And Supreme Court is upholding the validity of the law. In Vinod Dua's case, the one sentence says, any relief granted in terms of second prayer would certainly, in our view, amount to encroachment upon the field reserved for the legislature. We have therefore no hesitation in rejecting the prayer and dismissing the...
I think I can safely conclude from your argument...
Parliament can do it. But Parliament, as Mr. Vikas Singh pointed out, there are a number of things pending before the Parliament. This is not the only law which needs...
No. Come on. Given its misuse, Mr. Jain, given the misuse of this law, I think this is quite a priority.
Let there be a national consensus on that. Then
who will build that national consensus?
Unless all parties agree.
I wish I had someone from the Congress. I would have asked them also this question. They take a different position in TV studios and a very different
like
position
government
inside Parliament.
All parties are supporting it. Still, it has not been passed.
Yeah.
All these things government.
Correct.
It's not that easy.
I have run out of time, and I promise you, I'll get all you gentlemen again, because I don't see the Parliament redrafting this law anytime soon. And I don't know. I mean, let's not speak too soon. The Supreme Court also has done what it has. But clearly some people have expectations that they need to do more. Perhaps they have the right to strike down this law. Thank you very much to all of you all for this discussion. We're stopping for a short break at this moment. Mukul Rohatgi as well as Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi also have a very strong opinion on this law. Mukul Rohatgi also represented the Andhra Pradesh MP in the case that we were talking about. He feels that the misuse is rampant in states as far as this law is concerned, because policing is a state subject. What have the two gentlemen said? We'll get their interview after a short break. So the simple question that we are asking, should the sedition law be scrapped? At this moment, we have got India's top legal voice, Mr. Mukul Rohatgi. Thank you very much, Mr. Rohatgi. You've seen the debate around this law. The Supreme Court has made You know, two interventions as far as sedition is concerned, one in Mr. Vinod Dua's case and the other as far as the two Andhra Pradesh channels are concerned. I want to ask you, Mr. Rohtagi, in your wisdom, what do you make of this law?
According to me, this law must be repealed. It is a relic of British imperialism. It was not in the original penal code. It was added at a time when the British imperial masters thought that there will be an uprising by the local natives, means the Indians. And therefore, this was brought in to crush any dissension or any voice or anybody raising a claim against the government of the UK. Now, one thing is very clear, and I want to tell you, in the last more than 40 years of my practice, I have not seen frequent invocation of this law except in the last 5 or 7 years. And it shows very disturbing trends. Two things I want to say. Firstly, after the advent of the Constitution, everybody has a right of freedom of speech within certain limits. I can express a view about the government, about the court, about the hospital, about the channels, about anybody, as long as I remain within the norms prescribed by the Constitution. That is a fundamental right. Now, that fundamental right is being stifled by these false cases of sedition being foisted on journalists and on other outspoken critics of the powers that be. Therefore, it is clearly in violation of the fundamental right of freedom of expression. That is number one. Hmm. Number two, even if the law is to be retained, and I strongly advocate against it, we must guard from the fact that overzealous police authorities are invoking these sections only in order to please their political masters. The political master may not even know that this section has to be inserted in the FIR. It is being done by the police only to curry favor with the political bosses to show, look, we will keep this man in custody, because when the matter goes to court, the court will say, oh, this is a very serious offense and bail will not be easily granted. Hmm. This is what is happening in all these cases. And therefore, the earlier this section goes, the better. But let me tell you, the Supreme Court is having a relook on the constitutional validity of this section, and I'm sure it will be shut down. That is my view.
Now, Mr. Rohtagi, how will this law be scrapped? You know, there is a lot of talk, and for a very long time, conversation is going on politically as well as legally that this law should not exist. It's bad in law. It's a you know, relic of the British Raj. But this law still exists. Why, in your wisdom?
Yes. See, look, it was first challenged in the Supreme Court in 1962 in the Kedarnath Singh case, which is the Bible of this section. It was challenged as unconstitutional, being violative of fundamental rights and others. It was unfortunately upheld by the Supreme Court at that time. Probably because of the social setting, it was soon after independence and there were not too many cases of sedition. So the court said, probably it upheld it, but it laid down strict parameters within which the law of sedition must work. Mm. And in one line, if you want me to tell the people who are watching this program, the one line for bringing home a charge of sedition is that there must be an attempt to overthrow the government or the administration by violent means, by a call to arms, which is akin to a revolution. These are the words of the Supreme Court. Now, it is a far cry from foisting these sections on journalists or on an outspoken critic like Dua. Dua is a journalist. He has been a food critic. I think he's a far cry from being, let's say, a member of an underground association like ALBA or being a Maoist. I mean, it is ridiculous to charge people like this with these kind of laws. The idea is only for the police officer to curry a political favor with his masters to secure brownie points. Now, again, this law has been challenged, and it is being brought before the same judge who has delivered the judgment yesterday. And the same bench has issued notice to the government as to why this law should not be declared as unconstitutional. In my view, this should be declared as unconstitutional. It is in direct breach of a fundamental right, and any law which is in breach of fundamental right has to give way to fundamental rights. Number one. Number two, the imperial masters have themselves done away with this law.
True.
This law does not exist in the UK. How can it exist here in the largest democracy?
Now I want to ask you, who scraps this law? Who can?
The Supreme Court can. We don't need Parliament to... There are only two authorities which can scrap a law. Parliament can repeal the law. The Supreme Court can scrap the law.
Scrap the law. Very interesting.
And please, let me tell you, there is a very recent example in regard to Article 377. 377 was also a relic of the imperial past. 377 was first upheld by the Supreme Court 10, 15 years ago. Thereafter, it was again challenged. And I am proud to say I led the challenge in the Supreme Court before a bench of 5 judges headed by Chief Justice Deepak Mishra. And they not only reversed their own view, they struck down the law as being completely archaic and out of time. So it is not a Victorian morality, levels of morality of that time that we are having it here. Therefore, a court has a right to relook, maybe periodically, look at abortion cases in the US. Every 20 years, there is a flip-flop. Sometimes it is upheld, sometimes it is not upheld. So it goes on. Law is dynamic. The thinking of people is also dynamic. Thinking what was the sexual orientation then and sexual orientation now are also matters of, you know, dynamic situations.
Okay.
The Supreme Court also scrapped 20 years ago the offense of attempt to commit suicide. So if somebody wants to commit suicide and he attempts and doesn't die.
I think it's an important point, Mr. Rohtagi. My final question, till such time the Supreme Court scraps this and the Parliament repeals, the point is right now, as we speak, last week, the Supreme Court has only said that we have to review the ambit of this law. Time to review.
No, Sanket, 1 minute. If the Supreme Court scraps the law, you don't need a repeal by Parliament. There are two separate modes. One is Supreme Court to scrap it.
And one is Parliament.
The other is that Parliament also in its wisdom repeals it. That's another way. So
But Mr. Rohtagi, the fact that the Supreme Court has not gone that far or not taken that step right now, I want to ask you, should there not be a mechanism by which you punish those people who are misusing the law? I mean, you know, it's easy to say that a policeman is doing this. But the point is, we all know that these things happen under political pressure. It's a political tool in this country.
You have raised a very important question. We have a concept of malicious prosecution, which has come down to this country from British laws. Unfortunately, because of the fact that the docket of cases in every court is exploding, nobody has time to look at that people or the police is doing vexatious, illegal or malicious prosecution. And that can be actually brought to book. But unfortunately, as I said, because of the heavy docket, a person says, Baba, let me get bail and go away. I don't want to antagonize the police. So this aspect, you are very right. It must be raised back. It must be provided vigor, and it must start from the highest court, that the court should clearly say that if these things are politically motivated, they are vexatious, then we will come down heavily on the people who are behind it.
I think that's a very, very strong...
Does it in a couple of cases?
Yeah.
The point you have raised is very valid, and I think we will reach somewhere.
All right, Mr. Rohtagi, thank you so much for speaking your mind. Thank you very much for joining us and expressing your views.
Thank you.
All right. Joining us now also is another legal eagle, Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi. Let's learn from him. Dr. Singhvi, good evening. I want to start by asking you, where do you stand on sedition laws, Dr. Singhvi?
I don't stand behind it. I don't stand ahead of it. I don't stand sideways. I think it should not exist. Do you know that UK abolished it in 1920? That's more than 100 years from today. And according to me, it is bad enough as an ornamental witchcraft on your shelf. But it is 100 times worse in the way it is used. I mean, I am not supporting its existence at all. But even till such time as it is there as an ornamental relic, its use and misuse daily and with increased ferocity, you know the figures, and I'm not talking politics, but post the new dispensation, the quantum has increased by almost 80%. Mm. Now, being the situation, I don't think any right-minded, fair, you don't have to be a liberal, a balanced person can support this law because its use and misuse is gross. I mean, I must remind you and your viewers that the chap who questioned oxygen cylinders issue by his own father in the largest state of India, which is approximately the size of UP, of Europe, was charged with sedition. Liberal free thinkers who may preach atheism or agnosticism can be charged with sedition. Who may preach autonomy and freedom can be charged with sedition. Mm. So it is a draconian thing. It doesn't deserve to exist one more minute. But let me here make a slightly legal distinction.
Yeah.
It does take time for courts to strike down the law. And it may not even be struck down, although I'm quite sure that it is likely to be struck down. But let's assume it's not struck down. The point I'm making to you is a bit of a nuanced point. Hmm. Two or three stinging judgments by the highest court of the land, clear judgments, even one of them now, because the last judgment was the 1960s, Kedar. One judgment now restating the law as it should be applied, assuming it is constitutional and existing on the statute book, which I don't agree with. Hmm. But putting down safeguards that you cannot apply it unless A, B, C, D conditions precedent are satisfied.
But Dr. Singh, those conditions exist. As part of the Kedarnath Singh judgment, those conditions exist. That you
are, I agree.
You should be seen as waging a war against the state by violent means. By
you
a
are
100%
right. You are absolutely right. But sometimes, as they say, for people who have ulterior motives or limited Vivek, you need to restate the obvious. You are right that, you know, there are two or three basic conditions of Kedarnath which we as ordinary citizens and newspapers also don't remember when we read of sedition. Mm-hmm. One, there must be an overt act accompanying mere thought processes and words. Two, it must be an exhortation to violence or disorder. But that, I know, was there 60 years ago in Kedar. But today, if a bench of the Supreme Court reaches that with more comprehensiveness in current times and says, for example, I'm just giving an example,
yeah,
that if you were to do this kind of initiation, so-and-so would be responsible. If the tests are stated more clearly, because in 62, nobody, you see, don't forget, the Supreme Court of 62 did not have to face the frequency of its use. Kedar was an individual case. So it is vital to restate. Don't underestimate my point about restating the law, even though it's a reiteration. Hmm. Reiterations are important. And this is on the assumption that the other bench, which is considering the larger issue, does not strike it down. I believe there's a good case for striking down also. But I'm assuming that takes longer in time.
Dr. Singhvi, let me ask you a political question also. The point is that all political parties, see, it's very convenient to say that some police officers or some notorious person has press these sections in the police force against individuals. The point is of its political misuse. But that political misuse does not rest with just the Bharatiya Janata Party or the central government. It's being misused or has, I mean, the Congress has also been accused of misusing sedition in the past.
I have no doubt. When a power is there, there will be temptation to misuse. And I am not suggesting that any government has not misused it at all. Hmm. But number one, differences of degree do make for differences of kind. Hmm. The degree of use from 2014, I have no hesitation in saying, is a quantum leap. Hmm. Number one. Number two, that is the very strong reason and argument what you have just said for its ultimately being held to be unconstitutional. Hmm. Don't give a mad power to any government. That government is bound to occasionally misuse it. The difference between you and me may be that I may do it occasionally, somebody may do it more frequently, and a third person may do it every day. Hmm. But the point is that at the moment, the kind of, see the two categories, Sanket, one is the number of cases.
Yeah.
And to the kind of cases, to your political question, since 2014, leaves me aghast. I mean, the categorization, you have had an article just today or yesterday about the kind of cases. From the smallest, and remember one more thing, you know, Mr. Vinod Dua was lucky to get out of it. But how many people like Mr. Vinod Dua have the facility and the benefit of good counsel or proper representation or fighting it?
Correct.
You are a poor man with limited resources. Can you fight this even beyond the magistrate or the sessions court? It's all very easy to say courts will release you. But that's what these all these establishment people say. Law will take its own recourse and law will triumph. By the time it triumphs, you are dead. 95% of the people in this country cannot face up to the draconian effect and misuse of the law, even assuming that you are bound to be held innocent ultimately. That ultimately, as Kane said, in the long run, we are all dead.
That's true. Dr. Singhvi, two quick questions. Question number one, you know, Mr. Rohtagi right now said that there are two options of removing this law. One is that the court scraps it, and two is that the parliament repeals it. Now, parliament, if it had to repeal, could have. But the point is, it serves all political masters, so I don't know whether it will be convenient for parliament to do it or not. But do you think this matter must come in front of the Supreme Court?
Yes,
so that the law can be scrapped?
Parliament should have repealed it a while ago. But remember, there were patches and periods when it was not used at all. There were periods when it was used more than it should be. And I will not blame the present government only. But the degree of use by this government is so, so excessive that you can take it from me that there is not a hope in hell of this government initiating legislation to remove it.
But you feel now is the best time for this to be initiated. This
absolutely,
is the
because you are feeling its teeth. You are feeling its terrible effects only now. You see, it was there. It was used also and wrongly used also. But the frequency was sparse and way, you know, laid out. From the 60s to 2000, very sparse. From 2000 onwards, a little bit more. But never half as much as after 2014. So I think ultimately we'll have to rely on the courts.
Yeah.
And as I said, I'm going a nuance. You assume that the courts may not, because see, legally it is not entirely possible to strike it down. I mean, I think it's a good case for it personally. But it's possible for a bench to say that no, we cannot hold it unconstitutional. Parliament should repeal it.
Correct.
But that same bench can say that we put these guidelines and limitations on its misuse.
And let me ask you this final
question. Although
I
am very clear that it deserves to be struck down, it can be struck down.
But Dr. Singhvi, assuming what you're saying, that the Supreme Court may not want to take that decision,
yes.
My question is, do you think that there should be harsh punishment to, you know, serve as some form of deterrence that people don't misuse it? For instance, a hefty fine, a punishment, a penalty for its misuse.
Look, I'll tell you. In principle, I can agree with you, but practically, it is a useless safeguard. The safeguard ultimately is that the law is clear, which means that the invoker, the police, or the political master who directs it will hesitate, knowing that paragraph of the Supreme Court order. The reason why I say that this is a futile and a largely pyrrhic deterrent is that you can put fines and you can say malicious prosecution already exists. Now it doesn't exist. But the process of implementing that fine or malicious prosecution on an errant police officer is endless. It is the closest to eternity and the success rate may be less than 1%. And just imagine the practical impossibility of what you are saying. I am the master. I give you, a senior police officer, a direction. You give the next man down the line a direction. He does the wrong thing. Do you think thereafter I or you or the third person will punish the errant person? So, you know, this raises the issue of who will guard the guardians.
Interesting.
And therefore, yes, you should have it. Maybe you should add a few more penalties and deterrents. But you have to rely on clear law, restated, Kedarnath, updated by 60 years with emphatic words, which makes the invocation and the initiation. Because what happens is, after that, if you initiate wrongly, suppose Sanket initiates wrongly against me, and I go to the lowest court, the sessions judge will have that new Supreme Court judgment staring him in the face. And he'll find it very difficult not to stay everything.
Sure. Okay. Dr. Singhvi, many thanks for joining us on this, what we feel, and as you also say, a very, very important issue, and a call that this British legacy must be done away with.